6. As I promised tonight, we are going to walk through a very difficult for some passage. I'll be honest, when I first went to study this passage to preach it, it was a challenge. And I probably looked through 7 or 8 commentaries, and not one of them helped me, because I wasn't happy with any of their answers, honestly. So as you'll see, it's one of those passages that if you don't take it right, it can be misinterpreted and doesn't line up with our understanding of salvation in our age. So let's look at it and then walk through it. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So if they shall fall away. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we look into your precious word. Lord, we know the Bible is always true and always consistent with itself. And so we pray that you would just guide us and grow us through this time in your word tonight. We commit it to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we dive into this, I'll give you some of the explanations, if you will, of this passage from other sources. Of course, one of the most common is that it's teaching that a Christian can lose his salvation. We know that that can't be the answer because that's not consistent with what the Bible teaches about our salvation. Because we cannot lose our salvation. And this passage is written to, yes, it's written to Hebrews, but it's during the church age. And so it has to be consistent with our understanding of eternal security, which means that cannot be one of the explanations. As a matter of fact, before we leave that, let's just talk about eternal security for a moment. The Bible, the New Testament, assures us in so many different ways that we cannot lose our salvation. I'm going to give you 7 quick reasons, and I think I've given them to you before. Number one, the Bible says we have eternal life. Well, we could stop right there. Because if we can lose it, it wasn't very eternal. Right? But Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Present tense. John 5:24. We know. All through the New Testament we're told we get eternal everlasting life. Number two, the Bible says when we get saved we become children of God. So many as received him, to them may be power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. We become God's children. To lose our salvation we would have to then not be God's children. And then when we get it back we would be God's children again. But no, we're born into God's family. We become his children. And just like our children can't change the fact that they're our children because it's by blood, we can't change the fact that we're God's children because it's by blood. Number three, the Bible teaches that all of our sins are forgiven when we're saved. Colossians 2:13 says he hath forgiven us all trespasses. That means that there can't be a sin that we could commit that would cause us to lose our salvation because they're all forgiven. So, it doesn't work. Number four, the Bible says when we're saved, we're placed into Jesus. We become part of him, part of the body of Christ. The Bible says that we receive his righteousness, right? He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So, in Christ, we are made righteous. In Christ, we are already seated in heavenly places. In Christ, we are redeemed. We could go on, but we are placed into Christ. To lose our salvation, we'd have to be pulled back out of Christ and then put back in Christ and so forth. Number five, the Bible says that God is the one that keeps our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God. We are not kept by our own power, we're kept by God's power. If the devil is crafty enough to cause us to lose our salvation, then he probably could do it because we're weak. We just don't have what it takes to keep it, but God does. Number six, Jesus Christ is our intercessor in heaven. And so to teach we could lose our salvation would be to teach that his intercession isn't sufficient. Right? He says that he's in heaven now, that he is, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He says, all that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So we are safe because of the faithfulness of Christ and his intercession on our behalf. And then lastly, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That would imply, if we could lose our salvation, then that would mean that the devil could break that seal, which is God's seal. Does the devil have the power to break God's seal? No. The devil's just a created being, and God is God. So, that wasn't a rabbit trail. I just wanted to drive home that the first and most common interpretation of this passage is wrong. It is not teaching that we lose our salvation. Now, there's a second understanding of this passage, and that is that it's talking about people who aren't saved. And is therefore referring to what we would call the unpardonable sin. Because I personally believe the unpardonable sin in the church age is to reject Jesus Christ. Now, when Christ was on the earth, I think the unpardonable sin was different. That was attributing the works of Christ to the devil. Because every time he talked about the unpardonable sin, it was right after they said that he had done all these works by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But he's not physically on the earth now, and we can't accuse him of those things. But we can reject Jesus. And if we reject Jesus, we're going to hell. That's unpardonable. But the passage, as you saw, it's obviously talking about saved people because it says verse at the end of verse 4 that they were partakers of the Holy Ghost. Well, that means they were saved. These people that it's talking about. You can't be a partaker of the Holy Ghost and not be saved. Because the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, in Romans 8:9. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you're saved. So it has to be talking about a person who was or is saved. So that's not a good interpretation. So it's not saying we can lose salvation, I don't believe. And I don't believe it's saying, or it's talking about false professors in Christ. I think it's talking about Christians. The last explanation that people try to give is that it's dispensational for the tribulation saints. And would fit, for example, in the tribulation, a saint who would take the mark of the beast. All these arguments I gave for eternal security looks like most of them, if any of them, will even apply during the tribulation period. But we're not in the tribulation period, we're in the church age. So is Hebrews for the church age or for the tribulation period? I think it's obvious it's for the church age. Because when we read through it, who's it talking to? It's talking to the church. And it's teaching about the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is something he is performing during the church age. He is our high priest now. I don't even know if it works the same in the tribulation. So that isn't a good explanation either. So let's see if we can understand it. Verse 4. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Do you see why it has to be a saved person? There's no way this can be describing a false professor in Christ. There's no way it can be describing an unsaved person because it says enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partaker of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word and the powers of the world to come. That's a saved person. So, we have that settled. So the key is verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. So, what it's saying is, it is impossible, if we want to just carry the thought through, do a little bit of English, which I'm terrible at, but it says in verse 4, it is impossible for these people, if they fall away, to renew them again in repentance. So it's basically saying it's impossible for a saved person to be renewed again unto repentance. Everybody understands that, right? That's what it's saying. It's impossible for a saved person to renew them again unto repentance. What is that saying? Well, if we understand it in that perspective, it is just telling us the truth. That it is impossible for a saved person to get saved again. It wasn't that hard in the end, if you just read it. Because the key word of the whole thing is in verse 6, the word if. If they shall fall away. So what God is saying is that if we could fall away, it's impossible to get saved again. That's what it's saying. If we could lose our salvation, we couldn't be re-saved. Or we couldn't be renewed again into repentance. Because that would imply that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ wasn't sufficient. Which is what this book primarily talks about, right? If you go back to chapter 5, verse 9, what did it say? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Our salvation's eternal. Amen? The day we got saved, we got a salvation that lasted forever. So what God is saying is, in the very next chapter, that it's impossible that if they fall away to renew them again to repentance. So, to say it another way, let's establish who he's writing to. He's primarily writing to Jewish Christians. We know that from the title of the book. Amen? What was the number one problem with the Jewish Christians? Doctrinally. It was that they had come from a culture and a background of works, right? They had been taught by the Pharisees, by the scribes, by the religious leaders, that they have to earn heaven by keeping the law. And when Jesus came on the scene, that was the doctrine that he had to attack the most, was their misunderstanding that they could somehow earn favor with God by keeping the law. So now he's writing to Jewish Christians who in their past, or maybe their parents' past or their grandparents' past, thought that they could earn heaven by doing good works. Now they got these Jews coming along, these new Christians, saying, oh, it's good that you were saved, but now you need to get circumcised if you're not, and you better keep the law or you'll lose your salvation. And Paul had to write a whole book to correct that doctrine. That's the book of Galatians. Because the Galatian Christians were being attacked by all these Judaizers coming through and saying, yeah, that's great that you trusted Jesus, but it's not enough. You got to keep the law. You got to do works on top of it. Well, that's no different than modern-day Seventh-day Adventists. They do the same thing. So it was written to these Jewish Christians who are being told by other Jews that they have to keep their salvation essentially by doing good works. And Paul is writing to them saying, guys, if a Christian could fall away, it's impossible for them to get saved again. So what he's telling them is, it's impossible to lose our salvation. Because we can't. We can't fall away as to be lost and go to hell. It just can't happen. Because we are safe and secure in Jesus. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul explains it in just two books prior in a beautiful way. Notice verse 13 of 2 Timothy 2. We're talking here about the falling away phrase. And it says, if we believe not... Well, actually, let's just go up one verse before that. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You see what that's saying? What does that mean about denying himself? Because when we are born again, we are part of him. We are one with him. We are part of his body. Are we not? We're the body of Christ. What that's saying is that even if the devil gets us to the point where we even doubt our own faith, where we doubt our salvation. And every Christian has had that time in their lives where the devil's come along and you've doubted, am I really saved? He says, even if we get to that point where we say, I don't believe anymore, the Bible says, Jesus abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, he cannot deny someone that's already a part of him. Isn't that beautiful? Now we're going down to verse 25, same chapter. Talking about how we must preach to the lost. It says, if in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So repentance is definitely part of our salvation. That's that repentance word there in verse 6. So what Paul is saying is, his sacrifice is sufficient, our salvation is eternal, and therefore we cannot lose our salvation. Because it is impossible, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. It's impossible to get re-saved. That's what he's telling us. Verse 6, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So is this saying that a Christian can embarrass Jesus? Absolutely. And we all know it happens all the time. Can they put him to an open shame? Yes. But can they fall away and go to hell? No. Look at Hebrews 10:10. Just over a couple chapters. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Jesus only had to be crucified once. Amen? Now, the Catholics are basically re-crucifying him every Sunday through their doctrine of transubstantiation. They're teaching that once the Latin's been declared on that piece of whatever it is, it's turned into the literal body of Jesus Christ. And that the wine is turned into his literal blood. So every Sunday, his literal body is eaten and his literal blood is drank. But no, he had to die once for all. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So Jesus can't be re-crucified for us, is what he's telling us. It can't happen. It was once. And essentially what he's saying is that, yes, Christians can fall in the sense of falling away, living in sin, backsliding, happens all the time. But can they lose their salvation such that they have to be saved again? He says that's impossible. So when we just read it, it really makes sense. And yes, is there punishment involved when a Christian chooses to crucify the Son of God afresh? Absolutely. It's called chastisement. And any Christian who chooses to embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ with their wicked, sinful behavior can count on that happening. So it actually ends up being just more proof of eternal security, this passage. It's impossible. What's impossible? It's possible if they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance. It's impossible. So we can't be saved again. It's impossible. Well, since we can't lose our salvation, then we obviously can't be saved again. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful truth. So I hope that helps you. It certainly was a blessing to me because honestly, I struggled with it for years. And again, people who teach you can lose salvation love this passage. Because they say, yep, there it is, you can lose your salvation. But in the end, that's not what it's saying. They're saying it's impossible to lose your salvation. And that is just another blessed reminder to all of us, we're safe in Jesus. Amen? If they shall fall away. You know, there's a verse in Psalms that says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Christians do fall. But do they fall away and go to hell? No. It's impossible. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.